We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. If you want to weigh in on Tom Brady, certainly welcome to do so. But I do want to pivot to who's going to be the quarterback after Brady. What type of quarterback is Bill Belichick going to go after? 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. So the thing I would point out with Belichick is we haven't really seen Bill draft a quarterback in years that he envisioned to be the guy after Tom Brady. We just haven't seen him do that because Brady's been so good for so damn long. The only guy that he really went after, and I alluded to this earlier, but the only guy that he went after that he was basically saying, this is the replacement for Tom, is Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the only quarterback since Belichick has taken over here and since Tom Brady was the great quarterback that he was. That's the only guy that they identified as, hey, this could be the replacement for Brady. The rest of these guys, they were just drafting them to be backup type quarterbacks for Tom Brady. Jimmy Garoppolo is the one exception because in 2014, when Brady was, what, 37, you could have expected, hey, you know what, maybe Brady's going to drop off a little bit and we have this next guy that can take over for him. But even with Jimmy Garoppolo, he had to be similar to Tom Brady. Bill Belichick had to draft somebody that was at least going to be, in terms of the skill set, was going to be able to do similar things to what Tom Brady could do and run a similar offense to the one that Tom Brady was running because he had to be Tom Brady's backup eventually. So until he took over for Tom, you needed somebody that could run the same offense that Tom was running. So even when he took Jimmy Garoppolo, there was basically a requirement that you got to draft somebody that's at least pretty similar to Tom Brady in terms of the skill set. And we've seen Jimmy Garoppolo. He has a quick release like Tom Brady does. He can make all the throws in terms of the checkdowns and whatnot. So he could run the offense that essentially Tom Brady was running. So even when he looked for Tom Brady's replacement, he had to draft somebody similar to Tom Brady. And now if you look at it, like, for example, a couple of years ago, people always point out the fact that, oh, like, you could have drafted Lamar Jackson. Well, Belichick was never going to do that at the time, and it has nothing to do with Lamar Jackson's skill set. It had everything to do with, well, you can't run two separate offenses at the same time, right? So think about what the Baltimore Ravens, they took Lamar Jackson because they knew it was over for Joe Flacco. So they went into that season, and they started to run a different offense with Lamar Jackson at practice. They started to work on this offense because they knew eventually Lamar was going to take Joe Flacco's job. And they just so happened to do it midway through the season when Flacco went down with an injury. But that was their plan all along, was to build the team around Lamar Jackson. The Patriots' plan a couple of years ago was not going to be, hey, we're coming off winning Super Bowls. Let's run a different offense with Lamar Jackson. Like, think about it from Brady's perspective. Brady was pissed off having Jimmy Garoppolo around because he thought that Jimmy Garoppolo was selected to take his job, which he was. He was aggravated about that to the point where we all know all the reporting that basically they made him trade him to the Niners. Now, whether or not you believe, not the Niners in particular, but Brady wanted to get rid of Garoppolo. He was miserable with Garoppolo here. Can you imagine what Brady would have been like? Because I know a lot of people have pointed this out, is, hey, you drafted Sony Michel before you could have drafted, of course, Lamar Jackson. Well, could you imagine how upset Brady would have been about that? Oh, they're running a different offense on the other field right now, trying to design an offense around Lamar Jackson. Brady would have been completely irritated. But the reason I bring that up is this. So if you look at what Bill Belichick is now going to be having to do, or what Bill Belichick needs to do, is he needs to find a quarterback to be the franchise guy here. And I'm not so sure that he wants somebody that can be a similar prototype to Tom Brady. And in fact, it's awfully difficult to find a guy that can play just from the pocket like Brady has, like Peyton Manning has, like Drew Brees has, that can beat the defense with his mind as well. And even if you find that guy, it takes 4 or 5 years in the NFL to become a master at that. What Bill Belichick may look at is he may say, well, think about some of the quarterbacks that have given me trouble over the years. Deshaun Watson, his rookie season, he threw for 301 yards. The team put up 30 points. He also ran for 41 yards at a touchdown. Cam Newton in 2017, 22 of 29, 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, also ran for 44 yards in that game. Lamar Jackson, this past season, ran for 61 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also was 17 of 23. So Bill Belichick is considered to be the greatest defensive mind in the history of the NFL. These quarterbacks throughout the years have actually given Bill Belichick trouble. They have. They have given Bill Belichick trouble over the years where Belichick and his defenses have had real issues with quarterbacks that could not only throw the ball, but could run the ball as well. So we don't exactly know what Belichick's idea is going to be in terms of the skill set of the next quarterback. But what I think is going to happen is he's going to draft somebody similar to the guys we've seen recently that have had success, the Lamar Jacksons of the world, those type of players, because they have given Belichick nightmares over the years. And if you think about this, next year's draft, and say the Patriots just suck this year and Stidham doesn't live up to what some people think Stidham is, but if Stidham is not great, think about this. The number one quarterback in next year's draft is Trevor Lawrence. In all likelihood, even if the Patriots are horrible, Belichick's too good to get the number one pick of the draft. He just won. He's too good. He's not going to get the number one pick of the draft. So Trevor Lawrence, probably out of the equation, unless somehow the Bengals are the worst team in the NFL. Maybe you can trade up to it. But again, that's a conversation that we can have next year. But the other guy is Justin Fields. Justin Fields at Ohio State ran for 484 yards last year and 10 touchdowns. So he's a guy that can run the ball as well. We've seen this with a lot of these collegiate quarterbacks that in the past you say, yeah, they're not really going to be good at the next level because you got to be able to kill people from the pocket. I'm not saying you don't have to do that, but what I am saying is this new dual threat quarterback that we thought back in the day, I shouldn't say we because I wasn't around when this was all going on, like when these teams were drafting, were passing on guys that were more athletic, right? So if you look at it from that perspective, now we're saying, okay, these guys have been great in the NFL, the Deshaun Watsons, the Lamar Jacksons of the world, right? We've seen quarterbacks, these dual threat guys. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of Josh Allen, but clearly he has that element to his game as well. That's kind of the trend of the NFL. So if you're Belichick, you want to get this team competing faster. If you're going to develop the next Tom Brady, that's going to take years to do. It's so hard to develop a guy like Tom Brady that can just beat you through the pocket like that. So my expectation is we haven't seen Bill actually be able to take a different type of quarterback other than the Tom Brady sit in the pocket guy because he needed to do that to be the backup to Tom. Now I believe that Bill Belichick, he's going to go the completely opposite way. I believe Tom Brady Sr. said that Brady himself is going to be reinvigorated going to Tampa. I believe that Bill Belichick is going to be rejuvenated, if you will, to try to build the next great Patriots team. And I believe we could see him doing all kinds of experiences or experiments, if you will, with the quarterback position, looking at guys and looking at what the Ravens did. That's an old school offense. Right now, it's got some new school stuff, but that's an old school offense where it's built around the running game. And you basically gain an additional blocker because Lamar Jackson was such a great runner of the football that you get an extra blocker every time. I could completely see Belichick designing an offense like that that he could run here with the Patriots. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's check in with Dan in the car. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
I think Belichick's going to stay with Jason Stidham. And the reason why is Jason played in some big games in Auburn. Had a very, very similar career in college to Brady. I mean, all he did was win in big games.
His first year at Auburn, he did beat Georgia. He beat Alabama. Now, he did then lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game, but he won a lot of big games in his second year, or his first year at Auburn, his second year as a starter in college.
Right. When you look at when Brady took over for Bledsoe, you know, they had a good defense, a very good defense. They had a good running game, and they eased him into it. And I can see Belichick doing that again.
I was going to say, I believe you're on to something because it seemed like over the past couple of years, Belichick's been planning for life after Brady with the way that he's basically made the roster. And this year, what they were going to try to do is run the football more, right? But they had all these injuries. James Devlin goes down. Isaiah Wynn misses a bunch of time. So you didn't, and David Andrews, of course, missed the entire season. So you didn't have that same great line that you've had in the past. You didn't have the fullback. I believe what they were trying to do is they were trying to take some of the pressure off Brady, use the running game, use the defense more. And then after that, if Brady decided to leave, okay, we can plug somebody in and the quarterback isn't going to be asked to do a whole lot. But unfortunately, that plan fell apart with all the injuries they had, but they may go back to that next year, to your point.
Right. I could see them, adding to the offense, with some speed receivers, maybe some tight end hybrid receivers. Someone, for example, like I think it's Chase Claypool, I think is his name. He's not really, I think he's
wrong. The kid from Notre Dame?
I think he's on Notre Dame. He's like 6'4", 6'3", and he's around 235. And he's got good speed. So he's bigger than your typical wide receiver, but he's not as big as Gronkowski or some of these other traditional tight ends.
Yeah.
But I think, put him in the slot, which is kind of atypical, because most of your cornerbacks that cover the slot are around 5'10". They're under 6 feet, typically.
Yeah, it's
and that becomes a mismatch right there.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I appreciate. Dan, I appreciate the phone call. His line's open at 617-779-7937. I believe that the number one need for the Patriots is weaponry in the draft. And that doesn't mean it just has to be a receiver, but a tight end or receiver, they need those, right? Even though you drafted N'Keal Harry in the first round, I'll get to N'Keal Harry later because I'm not willing to write him off like it seems like everybody's willing to write him off like he sucks after seven games. I mean, come on. But anyway, I'll get to that later. But the point being, even if N'Keal Harry has a really good sophomore season in the NFL, you're going to need additional weaponry. It's not like they're deep at that position. So that is definitely a need for whoever the quarterback is going to be. But to his point about Stidham, I believe Stidham's going to get every opportunity possible to be the starting quarterback of the Patriots. Look at the roster right now. Now, you would assume they bring somebody else in, but it's him or Hoyer. I would be so upset if Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year. Does anybody want to watch that? At least give me something in terms of, I'm just talking about purely from a fan perspective. And I get it if he's not ready, Belichick doesn't want to start. I totally understand this from a football, from a rational position. I understand that. But just from a fan's perspective, at least with Stidham, I'm interested. I'm saying, could this actually be the next quarterback of the Patriots with Hoyer? I know he can't be that. Did you see him play in the Dolphins game last year? Oh, he was atrocious. He can't play. He's not good. So if he's the starting quarterback for the Patriots, I mean, it's going to be like pulling teeth watching those games. You thought it was bad watching the Patriots offense last year. Think about it, what it's going to be like with Hoyer. At least with Stidham, there's at least some interest level where you're like, let's see if he can be the next franchise quarterback of the Patriots. Let's actually see what Stidham has. With Hoyer, it's like, oh, great. Got about the 45th best quarterback in the NFL starting for the Patriots. Can't wait for this one. Let's get to Roman. What's up, Roman?
Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Mike Vrabel, nobody's talking about him. They did before free agency. He pegged it. He didn't sign Brady for a reason, and that's his buddy. He's played against them the last 2 years, beat him easy, and I think Vrabel thinks Brady's cooked.
Roman, you know what? I don't know if he thinks he's cooked, but I'm with you. I said it right after he signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a couple of weeks ago. I made the point that, okay, if Vrabel and John Robinson, of course, the general manager of that team, if they thought Brady was such an upgrade on Tannehill because they were one win away from the Super Bowl, they would have signed Brady. There's still a lot of unknown with Tannehill. Yeah, he had a great year last year, but they're betting on a guy that all they gave up was a fourth-round pick for. That's all they gave up for Ryan Tannehill. They're betting on him rather than Tom Brady. If they thought a Super Bowl, if Brady bringing Brady to Tennessee brought them closer to a Super Bowl, they would have done it.
Absolutely, and they signed Tannehill to 4 years for more money. Because Vrabel's the next great coach in the league, and I think they got something good going there, and they're a great value to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, Roman, how about this? How about when Vrabel did the Belichick move to Belichick? Remember when he was taking the delay of games on the punts? How awesome was that?
Oh, my God. Vrabel's scared of no one.
I know. I love Vrabel. I appreciate the call, Roman. I really do.
Great coach.
Yeah. His line's open at 617-779-7937. I, even as a Patriots fan, had to laugh at that. When Vrabel took the move that Belichick used earlier in the season against the New York Jets and used it on Belichick, that was priceless. I completely agree with Roman that Mike Vrabel is the next great head coach in the NFL. They've put together a really good defense. They made it work with Ryan Tannehill last year after the team was 2-4 to begin the season. He's done an outstanding job there in Tennessee. There's no way around that. He's been absolutely outstanding. And the other thing that I would look at as it pertains to Mike Vrabel is the fact that I do agree with Roman's overall point about they would have signed Brady if they thought that Brady was the difference getting them to a Super Bowl. Now, you can all laugh and doubt Ryan Tannehill, but if Mike Vrabel and John Robinson said, hey, you know what? If we get Brady for 1 year, that's going to bring us to a Super Bowl. They would have done it. They would have made the move. They were that close to a Super Bowl a year ago, and they didn't make that move. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Rob in the car. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Brian, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I hope you're doing well and all of your family and everybody's crazy time.
You too, Rob.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I had a call because your opening monologue was exactly how I feel, and you articulated it beautifully. So you brought some sanity to this discussion finally, and I really appreciate it. Here's the way I look at this whole thing. I don't think it came down to money, years, or anything else. In the later part of the 2018 season, the offense was struggling. And Belichick and McDaniels, they kind of flipped it. They went to a power running game, and they won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And there was no way that Belichick was going to revert back to the sling gun, gunning offense that Brady wants to play. All of the insiders and all this, I forget all that. I understand they need clicks. You guys need stuff to talk about, and I appreciate all that. But I take what these men say publicly, and that's enough for me. I think Belichick would have loved to have Brady back for another year, maybe 2 years, but not in the role that Brady wanted, in the role that Belichick wanted. And that's where the impasse happened.
Yeah, and Rob, to your point, this is, and I would even go further on your point. To what you're bringing up, think about this. Stephon Diggs was traded to the Buffalo Bills for a first-round pick. You had DeAndre Hopkins go to Arizona for a second-round pick. If Belichick really believed that all Brady needed to have a great offense again was a weapon or two, he would have gone after one of those guys and given Brady that weapon so he'd be back with the Patriots. So clearly, based on what Belichick did, he's telling you by not going after those guys that he doesn't believe that bringing Brady back with one of those stud receivers meant they were going to be in Super Bowl contention again.
Exactly, Brian. I think, and people are acting really childish about needing someone to blame. I don't blame anybody. I'm going to root for Brady, but I will always be a Patriots fan first. And that's just the way it is. And real quick, Brian, I'm not a college football fan.
Yeah.
So I admit that the first time I saw Jarrett Stidham was in the preseason last year. And I don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be in the pros, but that kid has amazing arm talent. That's all I'm saying. It was a joy to watch him spin the ball. And so, hopefully we get to see more of that. I'm excited. I think Belichick and Brady both are reinvigorated, and I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's an interesting
point.
Yeah, it's a good point about Stidham too, Rob. I appreciate the phone call. And to add on to the Stidham point, you realize too that Stidham had the best numbers the past decade for a rookie quarterback under Belichick. He had unbelievable preseason numbers. His numbers were better than Jimmy Garoppolo, who everybody likes to tell me is this unbelievable player. I don't quite frankly believe that, but Stidham's preseason this year was better than Jimmy Garoppolo's a couple of years ago. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Tufts Health Plan, and I'll get to Stidham in a little bit and just why I think that Belichick may think that he found a diamond in the rough, so to speak, with Jarrett Stidham. But I'm all for giving Stidham an opportunity, seeing what he can do, and if not, oh well, then you go back into the draft and take another guy. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to John in Burlington. What's up, John?
Hey there. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, here's what I think. I think Brady's going to do fine. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. And I don't know who I'm going to root for if he's up against the Pats. But anyway.
You got about a year, John. You got a year to make that decision because he comes here in the 2021 season. So you got some time.
Ah, okay. I think that the Pats are going to do better than we think without Brady because Belichick is a very good coach. And Belichick has never been so motivated as he will be this year. And if you think back, there's some teams with lousy quarterbacks that have done really well, including some that have beat the Pats in the Super Bowl. So I think there's a way to coach a team without a superstar quarterback and still win. We've seen it. We've seen it happen to us a number of times. I think Belichick is – I could see him making the playoffs this year just because he's a smart coach and he knows how to win without a Brady.
Yeah, the question I would have to you, John, about that is the one worry that I would have is in terms of the offense – who is Jarrett Stidham throwing the ball to? That's the one issue that I have in terms of making the playoffs this year. I just feel like the offense is going to be in some trouble when it comes to that capacity.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. But, you know, the season hasn't started yet, and it's a long way. Well, it's a ways off. And I have a feeling, I just think he's going to be so incredibly motivated to say, I can win without Brady, that he'll pull out all the stops to provide somebody to throw to and a scheme that'll work.
Yeah, that's for sure. And John, you make a really good point, and I appreciate the phone call. I completely agree that Belichick's going to be super motivated, because here's the thing about Belichick, and I'm sure he wouldn't use those words, super motivated, but if you look about it, Brady's work is done. Brady's legacy is done. He's already the greatest quarterback of all time. And I'm not disputing the fact that Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. But Belichick can enhance his legacy as well, but he could also damage it. If Belichick can't find the next Patriots quarterback, if he can't find the next great Patriots quarterback and this team completely goes off the deep end and they never recover from losing Tom Brady, not to say that Brady was going to play the next 10 years, obviously based on his age, but if they never recover from this and Belichick's not the guy that does it for the Patriots, well, then you'll have that narrative again. Well, yeah, he won a lot of games, but he did it with the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport. But if he's able to find that next guy after Brady, he can do what Bill Parcells did, right? Where Bill Parcells won a Super Bowl with two different quarterbacks, Phil Simms and Jeff Hostetler. Hostetler was a backup quarterback who sucked, and Parcells won with him. He could do something that Bill Walsh never did. Bill Walsh won all four of his Super Bowls as a head coach with Joe Montana. Chuck Knoll, all with Terry Bradshaw. Now, Joe Gibbs won with three different starting quarterbacks. But Belichick, I'm sure, based on the fact that we all know he's a historian of the sport, he loves the history of the NFL, I have to imagine that this is something that he's wanted to do. Because what else is there for Belichick? Just like Brady, we're talking about what else is there that he's challenging himself to do. Brady's figured it out. His challenge is he wants to play till he's 45 at a high level. Belichick's challenge is now going to be, hey, can I do it without Brady? And he thought he had the guy years ago in Jimmy Garoppolo that he was going to be able to do this with, but now he's got to change on the spot now that Brady's out of here, find that next great guy, and turn this back into a team that can be competitive and try to go after another Super Bowl. All right, the number is 617-779-7937. I do want to get to why I believe that Belichick thinks he has something in Jarrett Stidham in just a little bit. We'll do that, and we'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Patriots are getting ready for life after Tom Brady, and that includes Defensive Player of the Year Stephon Gilmore. Gilmore told ESPN's Mike Reese that he was not surprised that Brady left. Gilmore also spoke to Reese about Jarrett Stidham, saying, quote, "He makes some tough throws, definitely made it hard on me in practice each and every week, going against whoever I was covering, making some great throws." Knicks owner James Dolan tested positive for the coronavirus. The team says Dolan is experiencing little to no symptoms. The league is also feeling the financial pain of missing games. Clippers owner Steve Ballmer told the Bloomberg News that his team will lose at least $10 million this season. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
It didn't work out in New England for a lot of different reasons, but I think now Tom gets to become a little bit like Peyton Manning. He gets to be able to go down to Tampa He can run his offense. However, he can put the offense in. There's just no chance. No chance. Byron Leftwich is telling Tom Brady what he's going to run. Right? There's just no chance of that. Nor is Bruce Arians. I think we'll definitely see. There's been a lot of reports out there about Antonio Brown. I think we'll definitely see Antonio Brown in a Buck uniform, add more skill. And I'm sure they've promised him they're going to rebuild the offensive line. But he's going to have a say. I mean, Jason Light, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has just hired an assistant general manager. His name's Tom Brady.
All right, that was Mike Lombardi. Of course, used to work in the Patriots front office. You hear him on OMF all the time. He's saying that, hey, what Brady wants, Brady's going to get. Well, he's not going to get Antonio Brown, according to the head coach of the team. Bruce Arians did an interview this week on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and said, yeah, I don't want Antonio Brown. Said he's not a fit with that organization. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. But his overwhelming point, I agree with. Brady's running that team now. Bruce Arians may think he's the head coach of the team. Brady's running that team. Let's get to Joel. He's in a car. What's up, Joel?
Hey, I have a quick question for you in regards to moving forward with Bill Belichick. Knowing his coaching style is more about risk aversion, do your job, stay away from dangerous situations, would he be willing to take a shot on one of the quarterbacks, knowing the way the league is going, these versatile running quarterbacks that make plays happen but are also very volatile in the same regard? Do we think that Belichick would be willing to give up a more conventional style to let someone go out there and try it?
Joel, who are you referring to?
Well, just looking at people like Patrick Mahomes and just the way the league is going, these more mobile but volatile quarterbacks that you see people roll out of the pocket and make plays that they probably shouldn't be making, and they just happen to work. Is Belichick willing to take a shot on a versatile but also very volatile quarterback like that?
Well, volatile, I don't really agree with you when you bring up a guy like Mahomes. Mahomes doesn't turn the ball over a lot, so I definitely think that Belichick's going to go in the direction with a quarterback that can use his legs more as well. We've never seen him have the opportunity to really get Brady's replacement outside of Garoppolo. I believe he will get one of these more modern quarterbacks that we've seen over the past 5 to 6 years really take over the league. But in terms of a guy that's a risky quarterback, like, who do you mean? Like, somebody that takes a lot of risks? I don't see that guy out there.
Well, I mean, not necessarily like it's hard to explain. You look at someone like a Josh Allen, mm-hmm. who's someone who kind of works against the way that Belichick likes to coach.
Right. I see your point.
Belichick likes to keep everything in front of him and try to work within parameters. And when you see guys that roll out and make plays happen, that's not really what Belichick designed. Do you think that's going to go over very well in a Monday morning meeting where he was just like, yeah, you made it work, but you broke the play down in order to make that happen?
Yeah. No, it's a fair point. I appreciate the phone call, Joel. His line's open at 617-779-7937. So I don't ever see Belichick going after the Jameis Winston type, a guy that turns the football over a lot, like 30 interceptions last season. Somebody that does that, puts the ball in harm's way way too often. And Josh Allen's an example of that, to his point. Josh Allen has some passes that just make you scratch your head. But I do think Belichick now, and as I was mentioning a bit earlier, Belichick's going to go with a more different type of quarterback, I should say, that is kind of the more modern guy. Because Belichick has just been trying to find a backup for Brady all these years outside of the Garoppolo pick. I could easily see him saying, you know what? These quarterbacks recently have had a lot of success that have been able to run the ball when they come into the league. I can design an offense around that. I can stack up the defense as well because I could be paying a quarterback on a rookie salary. So I could completely see him going that way. But yes, it's always going to irritate Belichick where guys take chances that are unnecessary. That's always going to irritate Bill Belichick. But to the Mahomes point, I don't really see Mahomes as a risky player. He doesn't take a lot of chances. He doesn't throw it into harm's way very often. Mahomes doesn't turn the ball over really at all. I mean, barely. He barely turns the football over. So if he could get Mahomes, I mean, he'd take him. He's the LeBron James of the NFL right now. I don't know how anybody's going to stop Mahomes. He's had 2 years as a starter. His first year, he throws 50 touchdowns, wins the MVP of the NFL. He's down big at halftime against the Patriots, comes all the way storming back, and if it isn't for a coin flip, he's going to the Super Bowl that year. And then this year as a starter, he wins the Super Bowl. And the guy's incredible. I don't see anybody slowing down Pat Mahomes in the foreseeable future. But I also wanted to pivot to Jarrett Stidham for a second here. And by the way, the number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. So I mentioned the fact that Belichick may think that he found a diamond in the rough in Jarrett Stidham. And the reason I say that is this. So when he was coming out of high school, he was the sixth-ranked dual-threat quarterback. So he's an athletic kid. We've seen him in terms of he can run a little bit. I'm not saying that he's Lamar Jackson or even Josh Allen in terms of the running ability, but he can run the ball if you need him to. So he went to Baylor, but he also had offers from, now this is initially out of high school, he had offers from Alabama, Auburn, where he ended up going, of course, after he transferred from Baylor, Clemson, Miami, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Ohio State. So everybody in the country was after Jarrett Stidham, and he ends up going to Baylor. He plays in that Art Briles offense. The quarterback at the time was Seth Russell. He goes down with an injury. Stidham's freshman year. Stidham comes in, and he's really good. Completes 68% of his passes, rather, 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Okay, so he was great in Baylor. And then the hammer comes down on Baylor. You had all the trouble at the university, so he decided to leave, which I would have done the same thing if I was him with all that was going on at that university. He goes to Auburn. So this is why I say I believe that Belichick thinks he found a diamond in the rough. When he went to Auburn, he had some good games his first year there. For example, he beat Georgia. He beat Alabama. He was 21 of 28 against Bama for 237 yards against Georgia when they beat Georgia. Now, he did end up losing to them in the SEC championship game, but he did also beat Georgia. 16 of 23, completed 69% of his passes, threw for 3 touchdowns. They had a guy, Kerryon Johnson, if you remember, now playing for the Lions. It was really good in that team as well. But the reason I say that Belichick believes he found a diamond in the rough is because Jarrett Stidham, and he was forced to leave Baylor, not forced, but he made the choice to leave Baylor because of everything going on at the university. The issue that Jarrett Stidham has or had is he chose the wrong place to continue his football career. So he went to a place in Auburn where the head coach of the team was Gus Malzahn. And Gus Malzahn was the offensive coordinator the year that Cam Newton won the national championship at Auburn. And, of course, he had quarterbacks like Nick Marshall. So, basically, the essence of that Auburn offense is they want to play really quick, and the quarterback really runs the ball a ton. That whole offense is based around the running game. It's not based around the passing game. So, what Jarrett Stidham does well is throw the football. And I get it, he can run, and we saw that at Auburn, and we know that he's an athletic kid, but that's not how you base your game around Jarrett Stidham. That's not how you base your offense around Stidham. Stidham's a much better passer than a guy like Nick Marshall, who was there before him. So really, the issue for Jarrett Stidham is he went to a place that didn't highlight his skill set. If he went to another Big 12 school, for example, a place like Oklahoma that runs with Lincoln Riley, that offense that it's wide open. If he went at the time and played for Lincoln Riley at Texas Tech for Cliff Kingsbury when Cliff Kingsbury was at Texas Tech. If he went to one of those schools with a more open offense, you would have seen the skill set of Jarrett Stidham more. But because he was asked to play in that offense that Gus Malzahn ran at Auburn, it didn't highlight what he was great at, which was actually throwing the football. So with Belichick, he sees a guy that, okay, outstanding freshman year at Baylor, a guy that was really highly regarded coming out of the high school ranks. He just wasn't playing in the right system. And I'm sure that Bill Belichick, knowing the relationship that he has with Nick Saban, I know that Bill Belichick probably asked Nick Saban, or I shouldn't say probably, I know he asked Nick Saban what he thought of Jarrett Stidham. And Jarrett Stidham, of course, beat Alabama. So Nick Saban saw it firsthand, the talent that he does have. So what Belichick's probably looking at when he took Stidham in the fourth round last year is this guy's undervalued because he was misused. He was misused at Auburn. Think about how many times Bill Belichick has done that throughout his NFL career as the executive of the Patriots, right? You look at a guy like Kyle Van Noy in Detroit. He's like, yeah, Kyle Van Noy would be much better here. I could figure out a way to use him. Same thing with a guy like Wes Welker for Miami. Remember when Wes Welker was in Miami, he's not a great receiver. He's more of a punt returner, etc. Belichick says, I see his skills in the punt return game where he can make people miss in short spaces. Why can't I just translate that to the Troy Brown role with my offense, right? So Belichick's been able to find guys that play for different teams that weren't producing at a high level, but he saw something in them in terms of what their skill was, what their greatest talent was as a player, and he was able to get more out of the player in his system. That's what I think you have here with Jarrett Stidham. And I'm not guaranteeing that Jarrett Stidham's going to be a franchise-level quarterback or he's going to be the guy that takes over for Tom Brady and he's going to be somebody that leads the Patriots to multi Super Bowl appearances and all that. I'm not guaranteeing any of that. All I'm saying is I can see why Belichick would take a guy like Stidham in the draft, considering all that we know about his college career, where he was in an offense that didn't really make him look good in terms of what his skills were. He was misused at the collegiate level. Bill Belichick's done that so many damn times in the NFL, where in the NFL, he's taken guys from different organizations who have not produced at a high level, and they come to the Patriots, and all of a sudden you're like, I never heard of this guy before, but hey, he's working out for the Patriots. He's pretty good. Think about a guy like Trent Brown with San Francisco. Well, he was a guy that they were willing to give away for a third-round pick because they felt like they had better tackles. Belichick's like, I'll get him here, and he's going to be one of the best run blockers in the NFL, and we all saw what Trent Brown meant to this offensive line in 2018. So Belichick, in his mind, is saying, hey, I can get more out of Jarrett Stidham than other people were getting out of Jarrett Stidham, mainly his college coach and Gus Malzahn. Because the thing that sticks out to me with Stidham is if you look at his arm, it's absolutely incredible. So his preseason with the Patriots, 61 of 90, completed 67% of his passes, threw for 731 yards, four touchdowns, one interception. And I know you can say, well, it's just preseason. But if it was the other way around, if Stidham's numbers were horrible in the preseason, everybody would be pointing out, oh, this guy can't play. His numbers in the preseason were better than Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers in the preseason in the 2014 season or before the 2014 season. And what Jimmy Garoppolo was working with in 2014 is better than what Jarrett Stidham was working with last year. Now, I'm not saying that guarantees that Stidham's going to be a franchise-caliber quarterback, but I want to find out. That's why I want to see Stidham play this year, because we've seen in terms of what he's been able to do in the preseason. We hear from all his teammates. We heard Stephon Gilmore singing his praises to Mike Reese of ESPN.com, talking about he makes some really, really difficult throws and all that different type of stuff. So he's got the arm. I want to see it on display. And you know what? The thing about Stidham, if it doesn't work, oh well. Oh well. Well, then Bill Belichick will go back into the draft in 2021 and identify another guy that he thinks could be the franchise quarterback. Because Jarrett Stidham was a fourth-round pick. If he doesn't work out, Belichick looks at it like, oh well, it was worth a chance. It's definitely worth a chance at a guy like Stidham, where in the fourth round, he was undervalued. His talent is better than a fourth-round selection. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Louie in Amesbury. What's up, Louie?
Hey, Brian. How you doing, man?
Good.
Good. Hey, Brian, listen. First of all, I just thought that was just unbelievable information you just gave on Stidham. I'm not going to say I was surprised. I did hear coming out of college that he was recruited heavily, and the fact that, you know, colleges like Alabama and the such, and maybe it didn't work out for him in Auburn, but I'd love to hear what you just said. And I also, you know, I know preseason's preseason, but he showed flashes in preseason. And again, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Tom Brady, but I'm looking at alternatives, and I'll tell you what, I don't know that there's many alternatives out there right now other than, and believe me, Hoyer's definitely, all he is here is a little bit of insurance. But the other thing I wanted to mention to you also, Brian, was, and I'll hang up and listen to you, what you said about Brady in Tampa. Now, how do you know that the guy that only got 300 yards out of the backfield this year for him couldn't have done more, but the system that they're running down there didn't allow for that?
So maybe Louie, to your point, maybe he could, yeah. But we haven't seen him do that at the NFL level, and Ronald Jones didn't do that at USC either. Like, right. For example, if he went to the Chargers, right, say hypothetically went to the Chargers, that type of player was there in Austin Ekeler, averaged north of 62 yards a game out of the backfield last year. That was my only point is he's going to a place where he doesn't have that established running back catching the ball out of the backfield.
You're right. He doesn't have an established out of the backfield, but if the coach has got any you know, if he's got half a brain, he's going to understand that Brady, not that he's immobile, because I saw a lot of positive things in him last year, but he does need that check down out of the backfield. And that guy might be there. The guy might be there that you think may not be there right now. I think, you know, he could be the guy like James White for us. So I think there's a lot of options for Brady down there now. I'm a huge Brady fan. I'm a huge New England fan. I don't think negatively about anything about how it happened. I'm a glass half full guy. I'm looking forward to Belichick, working his magic. I think it's going to be with Stidham like we initially talked about, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, certainly fair points. And hey, Louie, I appreciate the phone call. His line's open at 617-779-7937. So I feel like I've been portrayed as somebody that dislikes Brady. I love Brady. All I was saying, my overwhelming point about Brady is just this was the better decision for the future of the organization. Belichick didn't want to have a bad contract at the age of 44. And with this current group of Patriots, The Patriots were not going to be Super Bowl contenders next year if you bring Tom Brady back. They weren't. And I believe that Belichick, based on what he didn't do this offseason, was telling you that. Because if he was desperate to keep Tom Brady, if he felt like, hey, if we keep Brady for one more year, I'm going to get back to the Super Bowl, he would have been making sure that he got Stephon Diggs or making sure that he got DeAndre Hopkins. And yeah, they were in on the talks, but they didn't land either one. If he really thought he could get Brady back and getting Brady back would make him a Super Bowl contender again, he would have done a whole lot more to upgrade the offense this offseason. All right, the phone number is 617-779-7937. A lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on Jarrett Stidham, do you expect him to have a good year in 2020? Do you want him to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year? I also want to get to whether or not it makes sense for the Patriots to tank going forward, and if you could stomach that. And also N'Keal Harry. A lot of people writing him off. I have a couple of reasons why I believe he's going to turn his career around next year. Turn it around. He's only played 7 games. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. The number is 617-779-7937. One thing I want to mention real quickly, and I'll get back to the Brady-Belichick conversation here, is they've been showing a lot of these classic games on CBS recently in terms of the college basketball games. I don't miss the NCAA tournament at all because this isn't the NCAA tournament I grew up watching. Nowadays, college basketball stinks. The product isn't good anymore. It's terrible, and part of that is the one and done and all that. But you look at this 1997 game they have, Arizona and Kentucky. You had Jason Terry, Mike Bibby on that Arizona team. Miles Simon was an absolute stud. So these teams back in the day, you knew who the players were. You knew Leitner, even if you hated Duke, was going to be there for 4 years. So that's the problem now with college basketball. You don't know any of the players. And quite frankly, the game isn't as good as it used to be. I remember growing up with the Big East, the classic Big East. Oh, so awesome in the 90s. You had Allen Iverson for Georgetown. Marbury played for Georgia Tech. They did play each other 1 year. But Ray Allen for UConn. You had Derek Coleman for Syracuse. That was awesome back in the day. Chris Mullin, remember, in the 80s, you had Chris Mullin, Patrick Ewing, all those guys. But now college basketball, it's just not that entertaining anymore. I don't miss the NCAA tournament. I really don't. Now, if it was back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, yeah, I would. But nowadays, I don't miss it whatsoever. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Steven. What's up, Steven?
Good afternoon, Brian. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. You?
Good, good. Can I just talk quickly on Bill Russell? But I want to get to my two Patriot questions if I could, and won't tie you up too much. My feeling is that Belichick is all these years, it's all been focused around Tom Brady. I think that he's looking for that manageable type quarterback like he had in New York and build that defense like he had in New York. You have a lot of mobile quarterbacks coming into the league. He's probably realizing it. Even if I get somebody like Brady and put up points, I need to stop the points from coming in. Second point to Brady's acknowledged that many of the players, and he acknowledged Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick, all that stuff. I think that he should do what Drew Bledsoe did when he retired and take out a full-page ad in the Boston Globe acknowledging the fans. I mean, he's talked about them, but not really a lot. And could I just go quickly onto the Bill Russell?
Yeah, what's your Bill Russell point?
Well, I know the gentleman Mark James was on before you, and the second week in a row, he acknowledged that he plays with guys from Long Island's uncles and so forth. Bill Russell played against Will Chamberlain, Nate Thurman, Bob Lanier, and later in his career against Willis Reed, and they played those teams. There was only 8 teams in each league, so they played those teams 10 or 12 times. Mm-hmm. Russell had 11 out of 13 world championships. The only one he lost, he was hurt. The other one, they had that great 6-0 team with Chamberlain and Al Attles and Cunningham and all those guys. He won 2 gold medals, and he also won 2 national championships. So to say he played with Humpty Dumpty guys is not true. This guy owned Will Chamberlain.
Right.
Thanks a lot. Let me say that.
Steven, I'm with you because he dominated his generation. That's what the NBA was then, and he dominated that generation. Not to mention the fact, you realize that Bill Russell had 40 rebounds in an NBA Finals game. 40 rebounds in an NBA Finals game. That's why I was upset with Jason Tatum the other day. Jason Tatum put out his list of the top 5 players in NBA history because, you know, everybody's bored on social media, on Twitter now, with the you can't really do anything, and he didn't have one Celtic on there. How do you not have Bill Russell on there? He's the greatest winner in the history of the sport. 11 of 13, as he just mentioned. I don't know how you don't have Bill Russell on your top 5 list. And the other thing I'd say to Tatum is, man, you play for the Celtics. At least put a Celtic on there. He had four Lakers on there. The only non-Laker he had in there was Michael Jordan. What are you doing? You at least got to think about this thing. Put a Celtic on there. Bill Russell. The finals MVP trophy is named after Bill Russell. Come on. And by the way, if they had defensive player of the year back then, he would have won it every year. Let's get to Josh in Boston. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick question for you, and then I'll let you go. I feel like, you know, the conversation the last few weeks between the relationship of Brady and Belichick and whether or not Belichick continued to invest in weapons around Brady, I feel like Belichick's sort of gotten like a bum rap. This past year, you know, he held on to Gordon. You know, he went out and got Antonio Brown before that imploded. You know, Gronkowski waited super late to make a truly final decision. He was coy, you know, up until almost halfway through the season about whether or not he was going to come back. Finally pulled the trigger. That's probably why Cook didn't end up coming here. You know, so I think, you know, Belichick tried to make some moves on the O-line, you know, after some departures. So I'm just curious for your thoughts and whether or not you think Belichick really wouldn't have continued to put weapons around Brady because, you know, the last few years, I feel like he has, even with re-up and Edelman, you know, I felt like he was trying. So I don't think he's gotten a fair shake.
I agree with that 100%, Josh, because there has been this narrative, and these are more of the conspiracy theory people saying, oh, Bill didn't want to give him the weapons to kind of force Tom out. That's not what happened. He took a shot on Antonio Brown. Obviously, we know what happened there. He kept Josh Gordon after all the off-the-field issues that he's had. He traded away a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, who, oh, by the way, all the reporting tells us that Brady was pushing for Mohamed Sanu. He drafted a receiver in the first round in N'Keal Harry. Now, if you want to say none of those guys lived up to what the Patriots wanted and Antonio Brown never got the chance because they kicked him off the team, then okay, you can make an argument those guys didn't perform at a high level. But these people that keep saying like Belichick didn't do enough, he tried. He missed. It was a bad year for Belichick. But all these other years throughout the history of Belichick's tenure, he's always put enough around Brady outside of 06 and maybe 13. Other than that, Brady's always had the proper weapons outside of those 3 years. 83% of the time, he's had the proper weapons.
I agree. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. Yeah, that's the whole issue I have. You have these conspiracy theorists. Now, if you want to take a shot at Belichick and say, oh, he didn't do a good job putting the offense together, okay, that's fine. That is a take that you can defend. But to say that he didn't try, because there's been a lot of you saying that, that's just not true. He did try. He just ended up coming up short. He didn't get the proper guys. And if Antonio Brown doesn't go completely nuts, maybe you have a decent offense because Antonio Brown looked really good in that one game he played for the Dolphins. But I just had a whole issue with that. This whole week, people have been, and really it's been a week and a half since Brady signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This whole indictment on Belichick as a drafter, I just won't entertain it. I won't. Okay, he's missed out on some corners and he's missed out on some receivers. When has that ever held back the Patriots roster? Outside of this year, their roster has always been Super Bowl worthy, if you will. So Belichick missing on a couple of guys, okay, who cares? Because they've had Amendola, they've had Edelman, they've had Rob Gronkowski. Brandon LaFell comes in here, he has an outstanding year. They got Martellus Bennett, he had an outstanding year. Brandon Cooks had an outstanding year. So all this crap about, oh, Belichick not drafting receivers well, that's really, really hurt the organization. That's just not true. It's not factual. It hasn't hurt the organization. Same thing with the corners. They got Darrell Revis. They got Aqib Talib. Okay, who cares if they missed out on a couple of corners through the years? They got J.C. Jackson and Jonathan Jones, undrafted guys that performed at a high level. So I don't know why people are so upset that Belichick missed out on a couple of draft picks through the years. I mean, give me a break. Let's get to Mikey's and Saugus. What's up, Mike? Oh, Mike dropped off. Well, let's get...
It's really... Well, again, first of all, the summation of everything is that everybody around here, they're all Brady boo-hoos. So you're really not going to have an intelligent football conversation. Everybody's going to turn their back on Belichick. And it's like, it's like trying to choose sides when you're in the fifth grade with friends. But what's really funny with their whole receiver thing, and this has always been the thing with Brady, when a receiver that is signed or drafted doesn't work out, we talk about that play is sucking, and the person who picked that play is sucking, and which is pretty much the person who coaches and drafts the team, which is Belichick, amongst others. But we never hold the man throwing the football to the receivers accountable. We never blame Brady for a receiver not developing properly. It's like having a derelict at the age of 9 and not blaming the parents. Like, oh, well, what were you like? What were your parents like who raised you? Oh, well, they were derelicts too. Oh, that's funny. Well, the apples will fall far from the tree. Like, it's amazing.
Well, yeah, and Albert, the thing that irritates me too is like, so for example, the guy that I just mentioned, You got Martellus Bennett for the 2016 season, and when Rob Gronkowski goes down with an injury, he fills in incredibly, and he's part of the reason you win a Super Bowl. But nobody mentions the fact that Belichick gets these guys, and they're not great before they get to the Patriots. Even the defensive backs and guys he gets like a Kyle Van Noy.
Even Wes Welker.
Right, that's my issue, is he doesn't get credit for that, and it just felt like the past 2 weeks, really, ever since Brady decided to leave the Patriots, there's been like this whole indictment on Belichick's draft record, and my whole point is, okay, even if he missed on a couple of guys, it hasn't held this team back from being good enough to win a Super Bowl, and he's made up for that with free agency moves, with trades. He's made up for all of it.
You're 100% correct. It's impossible. It is humanly impossible to hit on every draft pick, so that's not realistic. And but the problem is, and I feel bad for you guys doing a talk show, and it's good for you because you're getting calls and whatnot, but you're just going to have people that are purely defending the wall, the Brady wall now. Logic is out the window. Reality is out the window. Like you just said, you really think Bill Belichick is going to sabotage a season to get Tommy Brady, Matt? And he brought in Antonio Brown. Like you just said, everything you just said, the proof is right there in front of people's faces. It just doesn't fit the narrative that they want to conclude, which is nothing's Brady's fault. It's everything else around him. And, you know, we're just not going to hold them accountable. And I just think that's, you know, completely unrealistic. But I give you credit for having to deal with these nitwits call you time and time. And it's like I said, it's like talking to children. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, Albert, I appreciate the phone call. Yeah. The one thing that aggravates me about the whole situation is just, I don't know why everybody over the past week and a half has been attacking Belichick. Like, you would have thought that Belichick's the worst executive in the history of the NFL based on the way that people are reacting to Brady leaving the organization. And the other thing that nobody's answered this question that I've posed multiple times, if you brought Brady back this year and you had to sign him to a 2-year deal, because that's what he got in Tampa, he wasn't coming back on a 1-year deal. What were you winning with Tom Brady now? You weren't winning a Super Bowl, so what's the damn point? The phone number is 617-779-7937 if you want to join us. I do want to get to this as well. We all know last year that N'Keal Harry, that pick was killed. I'm going to give you a reason to feel optimistic about the player. We'll do that in just a little bit. Brian Barrett with you on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.